Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $50 at WynnBET and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with the WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cash with their over-under game. Just head over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And don't forget to go download the SGPN app. You're home for all of our free picks and podcasts. All right. Welcome back, D-Gens, to the DFS show for Colonial. It's your boy, Boston Gapper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, and special guest, Nagels Bagels. Jeff, what's up, baby? How are you?
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you again. Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Sorry I missed you last week, but it's good to be here. Thank you.
You had a good reason for skipping our show, though. How was Chicago?
Yeah, well, I was out of town. I planned a vacation. And I just didn't want to interrupt that to do a little chat about the PGA. Yeah. I was actually at the, on Monday night, I was actually at the, at Wrigley Field, Cubs Pirates. That was a nice little venue. That was cool. But yeah, yeah, I was out of town. I was in Chicago. I had a great time. And, so thanks for having me on this week where a lot more people probably aren't going to care, but sneaky good field. I have to say it's not a terrible field this week.
It's a great field this week. So what was your, so have you been to Chicago before?
I have not. I have not been to Chicago. It was just, it's so stupid, Capper. You know, I saw this pizza video and I, like a couple years ago, and I decided, you know, I have to have that. I was like, I'm going to get to Chicago at some point. I don't know when, but I'm going and I'm going to have that pizza.
Where was it at? I saw the video. Was it Giordani's? Where was it?
Yeah. So I put it together, but then I had a friend meet me out there, and we added the Cubs game and then added some other stuff, and it turned into like this, it was a nice couple of days.
Absolutely. What side of the city did you stay on?
The middle of it. We were in, what the hell is it called? It's got like this goofy name. The Magnificent Mile or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were right in the middle of everything.
I love Chicago. Chicago's my second favorite city. So Navy boot camp is up in some place called Waukegan, which is like probably 45 minutes north. And so I used to go into the city all the time when I was up there, when I was outside, out of boot camp, obviously in A school. And then my sister-in-law lived in Chicago too. I fucking love Chicago. It's such a great town.
Oh, it was great. We accomplished so much in a couple of days. Went to Navy Pier. We went to the, parks. There's a fountain. We did the river walk. We did a cruise thing.
Yep.
Ooh, the Portillo's. It's probably like the best hot dog I had, this chili cheese dog that I ate. Oh, it was tremendous. It was just a really good, we got good weather while we were there. It was a good time. So, sorry I missed you guys last week.
That's all right. It sounds like it was well worth the miss. Yeah, now you're in nice clear headspace to make some winning picks for the Colonial.
Yeah, we'll try.
Yeah, there you go. So, do you have any takes on the PGA? I think you left... Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you left everybody on a cliffhanger on your show for who you're actually playing. I think you got a player pool and you didn't set a lineup.
Yeah, it was weird. I was a little behind. I was up late Wednesday night trying to figure out what I was going to end up doing. And yeah, you mentioned the player pool. Yeah, I had this player pool and I decided to, I had DJ in my lineup for whatever reason because he wasn't on in my player pool. And he was the only one on my team that ended up missing the cut. I got a little lucky. I did have Justin Thomas as one of my one and duns.
Okay.
So
nice.
Right outside contention in one of the one and done contests that I'm in. So that was pretty much it. I had an outright on Fitzy. I thought he might get there. Got into the final group. So that was a little exciting yesterday, but for the most part, I was on vacation at the beginning of the week, and by the time I put everything together, it was really just kinda It wasn't with a lot of conviction, but it wasn't terrible. The JT.
JT on the one and done is good enough, man. That's
wait, good. I want to ask Steve, because Steve, this is something you and I think we've talked about in the past with JT being like a little, we're not sure about him and when the, in certain weather conditions. And I think he's kind of proven himself to be based on how he did in the players this year when it was rough and this week. I think he's kind of overcoming that reputation. Maybe he's not as soft as we thought he might be.
What no, I agree. I think that take is dead. At this point, I mean, the fact that he was the best player in the bad wave and then he just cracked up with the weekend and then he was in the bad wave this time and he won. Yeah. So yeah, I think that narrative is dead. I think there's another player that might be picking up that narrative that I think we might talk about tonight. Okay. But yeah, I officially apologize to Justin Thomas and his family for calling him a house cat and saying he couldn't play and win because clearly he has talked to Tiger and figured something out and now he just doesn't complain and he just puts his nose down and he just hits great shots. So yeah, I mea culpa, Justin Thomas, if you're listening.
Yes. Good on him. All right.
So I guess, you know, why don't we just transition to Colonial now? So, you know, what are you looking for this week, Jeff? I mean, we got a lot of course history here. We got a nice blueprint, like template of guys you typically do well here. What type of guys are you targeting?
Yeah, these are usually the type of tournaments where I feel very comfortable. You know, just like, I was talking about this on the show last week, how, we're at a place where we have a lot of course history, whether it be a Pete Dye type golf course, these real ball strikers type places. We got the bent grass greens. And one thing I think people should factor in is that we're a week after a major. We have possible letdown spots. If you look at winners of like the Heritage in the past, it's usually not a murderer's row of, elite players. And, you know, there's gotta be some sort of letdown for a bunch of guys in this field that are coming in, whether they're disappointed over last week or that they were doing all this preparation, getting ready for that. And, you know, maybe this week is just like a scrimmage. It may not mean the world to them. So I'm kind of factoring that into as we go through the ranges. Although I say that, and you had Spieth win the Heritage after the Masters a couple weeks ago, but Spieth hadn't won this year. It kind of makes sense. You know, that really wasn't like out of left field.
Right.
And he's terrible at the Masters. So I'm factoring that in as well. But yeah, we have all the stuff, so it's gonna come down to ownership percentage and which way the wind's blowing, as I like to say. Do we have a weather update? Did you guys talk about that?
No, we haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah, I mean it looks like Thursday they're gonna get some wind. Seems like maybe the morning gets the worst of it, but I mean guys the afternoon are gonna 25 miles per hour wind. Friday looks dead calm. Saturday and Sunday they'll look like a mess. Looks like 35 mile per hour gusts pretty much all weekend, so
oh,
yeah,
all right.
This is going to be a probably topsy-turvy, crazy Colonial where maybe there's some live betting opportunities, maybe save some room on the betting card so you don't, you know, you can fire some live bullets in tournament because it might flip on its head, you know, during it. So why don't we take a break and then we will start bringing down the ranges.
All right, sounds good. Well, listen, you guys got to make sure you get down on the Win Bet $50 Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the Win Bet Casino is offering a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000, and all users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a three-leg or longer Build Your Own Bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs, and don't forget the match is coming to the Win, and you can bet on it on Win Bet. The GOAT Brady and Rodgers -200 favored over Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WinBet app or visit WynNBet.com to get started. The offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynNBet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, let's dive right in. Jeff, you're our very special guest. $10,000 range. Why don't you pick one player you're probably building a solid foundation around in your lineup, and one guy you're fading in this range?
I really like it when you say very special, Justin. Warm and fuzzy inside. Thank you. I just talked about it, how with these super elite players, possible letdown spot after a major. if I was going to pick somebody, and you just kind of threw me for a loop with this weather forecast, I had no idea that they were going to have some serious wind this week. But I think that the value is going to be with Scottie Scheffler, even though he's at the top of the board. I could just see I don't know this yet. Obviously, it's early in the week. But I can see a scenario where the chalk is going to be a certain person, and then the natural fade is going to be another person, and that's just going to leave you with, you know, two options. And I think I might be able to get some value with Scottie Scheffler this week if people think he sucks now and he's the highest priced guy, and you can get another person that's hot, that's also from Texas, that's $1,000 less. I can see that. So I would say, as of right now, I would lean Scottie Scheffler. As far as fade goes, I mean, it's got to be JT, right? I mean, yeah, we have wind, but I mean, he just freaking won the PGA. After Phil won the PGA, he was dog shit at Colonial. He's partying it up. Like, he's not going to contend this week.
That's comparing JT to 50-year-old Phil Mickelson?
I'm just saying, like, he just won the PGA. Now it's like, all right, we're balls to the wall to win the Colonial. It doesn't make sense. How did he not withdraw already? That's got to be the fake. Even though there's wind, but my opinion. Okay. And I'm a very special guest, so. What do you guys think?
Exactly. All right, Capper, what about you? What's one guy you like and one guy you're fading?
So speed is obviously the fifth, right? But like, he's going to be uber chalk again. You're just going to have to make the decision whether you want to eat it or not. Obviously great course history. Yeah. Ranks everywhere, up and down the board, whatever. Like I don't know if I'm going to play him or not. So I'm going to go with who everybody looks like they're probably just going to skip over, because obviously he just lost in a playoff again. That's Will Zalatoris. He's number one in approach, and he's 11th, went from 150 to 175, and he's seventh in greens and regulations gained. And after he lost in the playoff to Luke List, came in 26th, so he didn't completely bomb out. And the kid feels like he probably should have won that tournament, and why not go out and win it this week? It's not a major. And the ownership's going to be super low. So it's an ownership play for me. He came in sixth at the Masters, missed the cut at the Byron Nelson, but just lost in a playoff to JT. And as we talked about last night, I put a stupid amount of money live on JT because everybody knew JT was going to win. So maybe now Will Z can get out there and and actually prove it. At 10-1 at, you know, probably somewhere between 5 and 7% ownership, I'll take that all day. And a fade, I'm with Jeff on the JT, and I'm also going to fade Hovland. The around the green games, just too bad. I know he got the bad weather wave, but he's still going to be owned at, like, you know, somewhere between 18 and 22%. It's easy chalk for me to fade.
Okay. I mean, I think you can make a case for JT. Sure. You guys aren't. All right. You guys are just playing narrative street. You got no idea what's in his head.
Right.
I think you can also spin this win at the PGA that, hey, I got the monkey off my back. Now I just want to win everything and just chill everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Could do that too. And I'm also staring in 2017 when he won the PGA. He finished T6 in the Northern Trust as his next start, and then he won next start after that.
Okay.
So he's got that in his DNA. So, and I'm also looking at ownership, and it looks like people aren't really going to him. Seems like it's going to be all Morikawa, Spieth, and Hovland in this range.
Yep.
JT's going to barely crack 10. Scheffler, you know, that's a good call, Jeff. You know, maybe not even get 9. Zalatoris getting low ownership. I think I think I like the Scheffler play though the most of these guys. I like the narrative that he sucks.
No one thinks he sucks.
I mean, you never know.
No one thinks he sucks.
Okay. Well, I think the only cause for concern with Scheffler is his course history is pretty bad here, but he's a different player now. And if he's going to get really low ownership, I played around with a couple Scheffler lineups and I actually didn't hate what I came out with because I like some guys in the low nines. I like a lot of guys in the eights. Like I think a winner is probably going to come, I think, from that range, like the middle tier. So I was fine. I, you know, putting together a Scheffler lineup at, you know, some leverage and going some other guys I like down there. Yeah, I like Scheffler. I think that's a good DFS play. And then my fade, just because of the win, I give up. I throw my hands up, white flag. Morikawa in the wind is it's a thing at this okay. point. There's a lot of instances I can look at with him. I mean, he had a big Sunday at the Masters this year, but the wind died down. When it was windy, he was just okay. Yeah. Obviously, he got the PGA, didn't go well for him. I mean, he's on the wrong side of the draw of the players. That's not really fair.
Yeah,
but, like, I'm also looking at Abu Dhabi. That was a really windy tournament over on the European Tour. Finished T62. Like, and just look at some of his best finishes. CJ Cup, that was in a dome in Las Vegas. You know, Hawaii, you got Bahamas. Like, the even Riviera this year, that was not like a hard, difficult, crazy wind condition like Riviera that we saw. You know, I think Joaquin even won it, like, what, like minus 18? So I think that's a big red flag for me, is his performance in the wind and the fact that he might have the highest ownership in this range this week. Well, second highest, but it's going to be pretty high.
Yeah.
And he's also cursed. So
who's cursed?
That's a little hanging first. Yeah. Sobel put him in the headline. So
Sobel hasn't been terrible lately.
Never hasn't.
What?
Hard regression then.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't. Jeff, seriously, like, we have somebody tracking it. Like, he hasn't been as bad as he was. I'm not saying he's fucking lighting the world on fire, but he's not an automatic cross off anymore.
Okay.
I disagree.
Okay.
I have a question.
Given with the forecasts, Morikawa's a fade for me.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah,
go ahead. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
All right, so I've been having conversations offline about Colin Morikawa in the wind. And the one thing that I want an explanation on, this after the show or another time, but how do you explain Harding Park? You know, the weather conditions was not great. It was windy.
It wasn't windy. It was kind of soft and cool. It wasn't really.
It was like, overcast and cold. It wasn't windy.
Yeah, that wasn't really that windy from what I remember. I think one of the waves had a big win on like Thursday, mm-hmm. but over the weekend it laid down, and that's when he made his move.
Okay, so maybe there's a lot of validity to it.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to. That's something that I always, when I'm always thinking about Colin in the wind, that's something that I always go back to. Mm-hmm. I just was, well, maybe I have a bad, maybe that's a bad take because the wind wasn't as bad as I am making it out to be. All right. I'm sorry I interrupted. Thank you for
that. There's no interrupting, bro. This show is not hardline fucking. Like,
I want to talk about this.
We talk shit out, man. That's it. That's the whole point of the show. We talk shit out.
You know, I love digging in the memory banks and pulling out obscure stuff from tournaments 3 years ago.
I love talking about it.
There you go.
What the fuck happened to you apologizing for asking a question? Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, I move on to the $9,000 range. Capper, why don't you kick it off first? Why don't you go with one player you like, one player you're fading?
All right. So I love Finau this week. I mean, if you take a look at his stats, he looked okay last week. You know, whatever. He looked fine. Like, he netted, you know, basically positive everywhere. He is, what is he in approach? His approach is back. Like, I mean, with losing 7.7 strokes, in approach at the Wells Fargo, he still, where the hell did my screen go? He's still 29th. He's 29th with losing 7.7 strokes in one field. And I know he gained 8 in the other one, but last week he was back with it. He putts well on bent. He's 6th in this field in greens in regulation gained. Tee to green, he's a monster. Look, he's going to come in at lower ownership than I thought he would have. But I mean, look, it's fucking Monday night. It could change, right? But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, what's not to like about Finau? I mean, he's a guy who obviously didn't really contend at the PGA, and he needs to get out and get a win. He gained 8.2 strokes in Mexico and didn't fucking win because he lost 2 strokes putting, but we're back on bent now. And that's his best putting surface. I know that's not saying a lot, but yeah, listen, overall, he's great tee to green, and he can club down, and his approach game and his irons are back on. That over 7 was just a weird aberration. And if his irons are on, he could definitely win this tournament.
Okay. What was your fade?
So I guess it's easy to say M, right? Because his ownership's going to be fucking low, right? Just because nobody knows what happened with the COVID. So I'm going to fade Homa. He doesn't have too good of a course history here. He's got one top 30. I don't know. I can never get this fucking guy right. And I don't like watching him golf for whatever reason. I don't know. Something irritates me about him. It's probably because I never have money on him. But yeah, I'm going to fade Homa.
Okay. All right. I think I'm going to agree with him, Fee, now. I think the only thing I'm going to add to that is, I mean, he played three pretty good rounds at the PGA and one just disastrous round.
Disaster, yeah.
And maybe you chalk it up to the fact he wore a really stupid shirt on Saturday. He just was really embarrassed.
I knew you'd hate that.
Yeah. I'm not on Twitter, and even I caught wind of that. Otherwise, though, he hit the ball great on Sunday. He had a second-place finish here back in 2019. From my recollection, that also had a lot of wind. So maybe that's the type of setup in Colonial he can handle. You're right with the ball striking. Like, you know, he putts a little better on Beckers. I'm good with that. I think my fade is probably Berger. And I say that just because I'm surprised the popularity is as high as it is, considering he hasn't done anything since the Honda.
His irons are super loose right now.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the take that he was a world-class iron player, I think that was a little overstated. A little strong? Was for like a – he had a good like 5 months.
A little strong? Okay.
And now it's coming back down to earth. And I don't know – listen, I might have been wrong that he might have been, nursing an injury at the Masters. Like, he played Harbortown, looked okay, withdrew from Mexico, and then looked terrible last week. I don't know. I mean, I could see it if – people were actually ignoring him. The fact that, okay, it's a guy who's won this tournament where, you know, the long-term stuff looks okay, but people are going back to him, and the fact that he hasn't done anything to warrant, I think, any of that popularity, at least in the last 3 months, that's not for me to just fade. So,
agreed. He came in fourth at the Honda. That's it. I mean, that's the only thing. That's it. Other than that.
And that tournament he should have won, by the way. He was up like five heading into the...
Yeah, Sunday. Exactly. And choked it away to Sepp Straka, of all fucking people.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about the Honda anymore. Someone who had Lowry, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Jeff, what about you? What's one guy you like, one guy you
favorite? Well, I have a question. Sorry, again, with the questions.
Stop apologizing.
I'm surprised neither of you mentioned Abe Answer. Isn't he going to be? I'm assuming, yeah, Finau is going to get some runs, but I would think Answer would be a very popular selection.
I love Answered, right? He's got good history here. He's around the green. Game's gotten a little better. He's top 20 in 150 to 175 in this field, as far as the approach game goes. And yeah, I mean, look, he looked good. He looked healthy last week. And he's a stud putter, man. So yeah, I don't hate it. I think he's going to be 20% on though.
Okay. That's what I figured.
I'm not big of a fan as Answer as my co-host is.
Okay, but the question is that he's not really going to be flying under the radar. People are going to play Gabe Answer this week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Whether that's right or wrong, that's going to be happening. And you guys both mentioned Finau. That makes sense with the course history and whatnot. But you don't want to talk about the Honda, but Sungjae Im won the Honda in some windy conditions. He has a top 10 here. I know that he hasn't played. He's rested. He didn't play last week. You want to go that angle. If I am getting minute ownership, if Answer and Finau are going to be near 20 and Sungjae is going to be in single digits, Sungjae Im won on bent grass at the Shriners. I can see a scenario where I would be very interested in that if the ownership is right. If no one's talking about him. I mean, he got diagnosed with COVID. He couldn't get in. He couldn't leave. Right. Whatever. I don't think he's like ill. I just think that he has to get through protocols.
That's the hottest thing for me, right? I just don't know. Like, I don't know if he's sick. How the fuck do you know if he's sick, Jeff?
Oh, how about we assume the best case scenario that he's
fine? No, you always sick. Assume the worst case scenario, Jeff. That's how life works. Assume
but then
the worst.
I wouldn't play anybody.
Listen, me and Steve had an offline conversation prior to the PGA. Like, we were both like, excited to bet him. Like, we wanted to bet him going into the PGA, right? Thinking we'd be able to get a good number on him. And then he couldn't get out of Korea. So I'm fine with it as a DFS play. Like, I won't bet him outright. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, especially if you're going to get single digit ownership. Absolutely. Like, it's just a big risk, right? Because you don't know. Like, who the fuck knows how he feels? You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
All right. I'd rather play Sungjae over Answer, and Sungjae's my 1B in this range. So I have
perfect.
Nothing else to add for Jeff. I think you nailed it perfectly.
Nope.
Nice. Thanks, buddy. If I had to fade anybody, it'd probably be Berger. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with him. He's, he's a bum. I can't stand Daniel Berger. I'm done with him. And I think Brooksy's going to be getting married. I don't know if the wedding's this weekend or not. I wonder if Berger's going to that. Or I guess he's not going to that, but
maybe he's just trying to get a Thursday, Friday.
Maybe his girlfriend's going to that.
There's no way he's not going to his boy's wedding. Like, it's not happening. Like, I don't know, man. I don't keep up with
that. Wedding is coming. That wedding is, I'm telling you, that wedding's coming.
I believe you, weirdo, following fucking golf people's weddings and shit.
I'm just saying, it's coming.
Isn't Berger's girlfriend the one you don't like?
Yes, but she's friends with Jenna. Ah. So probably be at the wedding. Although she was not at the bachelorette party. I don't believe.
I didn't take a rift. That's funny. That's a rift. I don't know how close they are, because that would cause a problem at the house. Let me tell you right now.
How the fuck do you know that?
I didn't take roll.
You know, I don't even know if I want to know. All right. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll get back to it.
All right. So listen, Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for mine, the Dynasty League. And listen, it's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, you choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. Then just choose the amount of money you want to enter in the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere between 2 and 20 times your money. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is the only app where I can join my buddies' contest and play together. It's got built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with just the tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download the Sleeper app now to play their new over-under game and have some fun with your friends and make some money. And don't forget to use promo code SGP. There you go.
Okay. All right. 8,000 outrage. I guess I'll kick it off. So if we're going to have kind of winning conditions, I'm gun shy picking guys who are making their debut here, but I mean, Tweedle just playing good. I mean, everything looks great. The ball striking looks good. Great scrambler. I think that's going to be important this week, especially with the windy conditions. And a lot of these holes are going to play into a crosswind with that south wind too. Good putter on bent. I understand this is first time here, but $8,800. Like, if you finish like top 15, I'm fine with it. That's real expectation. I want to talk about Webb Simpson though. And So he finally showed something with the ball striking last week. And I actually found, I'm not sure if it was floated out there last week, but he finally changed his irons. He wasn't happy with what was happening. So for years, he was hitting blade irons, and like him and his caddy, Paul Tesori, were going back and forth and saying, hey, like, listen, it's not, if you go to these, like, I think like Titleist T100s or something. I'm going to get really the gearheads on right now.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
If you go to these Titleist T100s, it gets through the rough a little better. And Webb was just very stubborn about the whole thing. And finally he relented because like he was complaining that, you know, his iron game used to be his best part. Now it's one of his worst parts. And he finally hit, like he had a few like big rounds with his irons last week. Now the final round didn't go so great for him, but he played fine. His track record at Colonial's kind of mixed. He's got three cuts, but he also has two top fives. So that's pretty big ceiling there. And doesn't look like there's a whole lot of ownership on him either. I don't think maybe a lot of people really, you know, caught the scent. He actually kind of did okay last week. So
he had a really good Saturday.
He had a good Thursday too. Mm. He did. Trust me, because I had a missed cut prop on Webb Simpson, and
I know.
I'm not happy with how it started. Okay. So like he had like a couple of rounds of big iron numbers, a couple of rounds like he did start with the putter. He had a couple of big putting days too. Like I think he's caught close to maybe putting some things back together. I know you don't like it. I don't give a shit. So that's right. And then I'm going to fade Billy Horschel. I think I just said Horschel fatigue. I mean, I think his best finish here is like a T19. Yeah. Like nothing's just really popping for me. Like it seems like all the stats are kind of flatlining here. Didn't really do much last week. I'm just not feeling Horschel at this, you know, this week. And it seems like he's also kind of drawn some little bit of ownership too. He's going to be at least in the double digits. I mean, all these guys look like they are, but I think I need to take a break from Billy for a little bit. And if it's going to be windy, he kind of can be a nutcase.
Yeah, he's an absolute nutcase.
All right, Jeff, what about you? What about
Chico? I love Taylor Gooch this week.
Okay.
I know his ownership will probably be high. I don't care. I was going through basically everybody $8,000 and up, everybody 50 to 1 and under, and I love Taylor Gooch this week. He was good last week. He played, I mean, he missed a lot of makeable birdie putts. I think it was on Friday. He was awesome. I was tracking his round, and he was great. You mentioned that, you know, with the wind and everything else, he hasn't won. I know he won in the fall, but he hasn't won. He's a perfect post week after a major winner, Taylor Gooch. And I think I like him a lot, and I'm not going to let ownership, now barring a late curse that I hear about or something like that, I'm sticking to that as of Monday. I like Taylor Gooch a lot. So I'm going there. As far as the fade goes, I mean, Bryson's in this range. That doesn't make sense. I mean, that's too easy. I'm
fade a 1% Bryson.
I'm gonna fade Mito.
Okay.
I think that's, you're allowed to do that. He's at 8,600. I'm trying to remember what tournament it was. It might have been Xander, actually, at the Heritage, where the week after he lost, he came in second at the Masters in 2019. He went to the Heritage next week, and people were all over him, and he was terrible. I'm telling you, there's a when you're in the, after something like that happens, it's just hard to recover a couple days later and just put it behind you, act like it's no big deal, and continue to play your best golf. So, I mean, good on Mito. Had a good week. I picked the wrong Chilean. I was all in on Neiman. That was fine. It happens. But, yeah, just anybody that's in that spot, I don't see a bounce back right away. That's going to sting a while. Look what it did to Molinari after a brutal loss like that. You just don't recover from these things.
No. His soul is still in Augusta.
What I'm saying, like, it's just, so that's why I'm fading him. Although that was a great performance up until the last hole. So that's it. There you go.
All right, okay. I like it.
All right. 7,000 on range, Jeff.
Hey, what about me, motherfucker?
I'm sorry. I apologize. Dapper, why don't you go then? Two guys you like, one guy you don't.
So I'm with you on Fleetwood, man. So he's fourth in greens and regulation gain, 7 top 25s out of his last 8. Everything else you said. Yeah, whatever. I'll take him. And then, Kevin Na, he's 9th in approach in this field, 9th in with the irons from 150 to 175, 28th in greens and regulation, good course history. Obviously can get hot with his putter and light it up. Yeah, he's an asshole and he's going to live, but I don't care. Like, I think
that's concerned that he's probably going to be maybe the most popular guy.
I don't think he's going to be that. I don't think he's going to be the most popular guy in the AK, right?
He got pushed to the moon on Mayo this week.
What do you mean he got pushed to the moon? I haven't listened to Mayo. So I haven't listened to anything.
They're all in on Na.
Well, then, fine. Fuck. All right. I guess I'll have to rethink it if he's going to be that highly owned. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, stats-wise, I get it. His iron's great.
Yeah.
He's going to be – that ownership is probably going to be really high.
Yeah, all right, fine.
And he played okay last week.
Yeah, he played okay. I thought he was going to play a little better, but whatever. Like, it is what it is. And I'm with Jeff. I'm not touching Mito after that soul-crushing performance. Like, his interview at the end, like, the fact that he sacked up and went to do the interview, obviously, like, really good on his part, but you could just see his mind was fucking scrambled. And there's no way he's going to be in the headspace to compete again this week, I don't think, anyway. At least I wouldn't be able to. But then again, I'm not a professional PGA Tour.
All right, well, we move down to the 7,000 range. Jeff, why don't you pick just like 3, 4, 5 guys that pique your interest in this range?
Okay. I don't think it's that great of a range, which is going to be a problem because I said the same thing when I was looking at the sixes. Hey, going with my post major letdown theme, I was looking at CT Pan. Little bit. I think he won the Heritage, right? Or he blew the Heritage on the 18th.
Didn't he withdrew? Isn't that when he fucked me with the 7% withdraw?
That was a couple weeks ago. But he won the 2019 Heritage.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Man, like his wife was on the bag or something. I think I don't know. A vague memory. He's been in good form lately. I think I played him at the Byron Nelson or one of those bullshit tournaments between the Masters and PGA. And, so I'm, would take a look at him. Tom Hoagie, maybe? I haven't, What other names was I looking at here? I'm sorry.
I didn't, well prepared. Well prepared, Jeff. Well fucking.
It is circle. I don't want to screw up my notes. I tell you who it's not going to be. It's not going to be Harold Varner. I know Woodwind is going to be, that's a popular pick.
Yep.
And look at Chris Kirk was 3% on last week. I talked about him on the show. He was in my player pool. I didn't roster him, but he went out and finished top five or whatever it was.
Yep.
And now he's going to be super, yep, you know, super popular selection. So I'm going to have to figure out ownership in this Ranger. I might go back to Matt McNeely, a guy who played well at Heritage, played well at Pebble, you know, these narrow golf courses. He can make enough putts. He wasn't great last week, but I like Matt McNeely. And he's a guy that is like, oh, who's one of these the guys who haven't won yet that can maybe sneak out a win in a vulnerable field? So I like McNeely. I like CT Pan. And I'm gonna look around a little bit. Maybe Matthew Neesmith, that type of guy.
Okay.
There are guys here. There are guys.
So CT Pan worries me. So I was super high on CT Pan. I don't remember. What was it, 2 weeks ago, Steve?
Yeah, I think it was Byron Nelson, maybe.
Byron Nelson. And then he fucking withdrew after it started. So I don't know what the injury is, right? So there's definitely injury risk with that. So you might get a discount on ownership, but he's still looking like he's going to be over 10%. So if I'm not sure about how healthy he is, I'll probably pass on CT Pan.
Okay. All right. Capper, what about you? Who are some guys you like?
I like Hoagie as well. You know, look, he's got a decent course history here. He's 13th, with
his Time out. Decent course history.
Yeah.
He finished T17 his debut and he missed the cut the last 2 years and he finished outside the top 40 in the other two.
That's T17. I said decent.
Okay, so one out of five.
That's
okay.
All right.
That's decent.
Okay. All right, continue.
Yeah, that's
just need a fact check right there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's just decent. I didn't say good. I said decent.
Okay, Bill Clinton.
Yeah, man, whatever. And so, like, top 10 last week. You know, started out really strong. Same thing, just kind of had a shitty Sunday. Good at the Byron Nelson. Good. You know, listen, he won Pebble this year.
He won Pebble this year.
Yeah, he won Pebble this year. So, you know, small greens, target golf, like, let's go. Like, and he's 13th on approach, overall in this group at 7,600. Like, I'd watch ownership a little bit just because he's sandwiched between Gesundheit and fucking Tringali. So I'm pretty sure a lot of ownership is going to filter to Hoagie. But I like him. And, I know Jeff hates him, but, HV3, like what's not to like? He's sixth in around the green in this field. He's top 20 in approach, 35th in greens and regulations gained, played well at the RBC, top 25 in his Masters debut. Whatever, he played like shit, but he got a bad weather draw too, this past weekend. So, but another thing, it's the ownership, man. It's Monday night, so I have no fucking idea. If he's going to be 18% owned, I'm not going to play him. But I don't understand. I don't see how Woodland, Kirk, Varner, and Harmon can all be 20% owned. I mean, it's going to shake out that one of these guys is going to be the lower owned. And then at the bottom, I never fucking play this guy ever. And I don't know if I tripped over him, if I'd recognize him, but, Lashley pops. In the model, he's 34th in around the green, 21st in approach, 14th in greens and regulations gained, and T17 at the Nelson with Drew from Wells Fargo, T11 at Mexico Open, and top 20 at Valero. Yeah, I'll take Lashley with some low ownership just because he pops in the model. He doesn't putt well on bent grass, which is kind of unnerving, and the fact that I never ever fucking play on, but yeah, whatever, I'll take it.
Okay. I mean, it seems like there's a lot of popular guys up the top of the 7,000. Mm-hmm. Kirk, Woodland, Varner, Harmon, who's also cursed this week. Munoz.
Fucked me last week.
Justin Rose, Hoagie, CT Pan. I think of that group, I think I like Woodland and Pan the best. I'm trying to think of like, if it's going to be really crazy windy conditions over the weekend, I think I want a guy like Woodland. I think I trust him to kind of grind it out and like tough it out and get the job done. And his course history here is really good.
And he's his played, ball flight cuts through the wind pretty well too.
Yeah.
He can hit that bullet.
He's got that low ball flight too. Yeah. But I mean, he played pretty well at the PGA. Sunday was bad, but he had a couple of good rounds, some iron, you know, where his iron's pretty good. So overall for the tournament, ball striking looked good. I think we go back to him. And then with CT Pan, I mean, I forgot about the injury concern. I forgot he withdrew. But just looking at the stats, he has, I think, a T3 back at that 2019 Colonial that had windy conditions. I like that. Hitting the ball great.
Yep.
I think that might help this week. And then I also like Matthew Nysmith-Nagel. You know, like, he had a good finish at Heritage recently, good finish at Valspar, kind of two target golf courses. You know, you got to plot around. His course history here stinks, but it's only two times, and he's playing well recently. So I like that. And I kind of like Patrick Reed again. So he finished at plus two and like, I think like T32 for tournament. He was at two under three holes to go. Yeah. And he's went double bogey bogey.
Yep.
Finally, as like, he's actually starting to hit his irons good again, and like, he's scrambling it all right. And like, that's like in the betting markets, I've seen 101, and like, you kind of look at like some of these guys who have won Colonial. It's kind of like a Patrick Reed that like just ends up like doing it. Like, I don't understand why he can't just do like what Kevin Na did a couple of years ago, where, listen, like, Na was dog shit off the tee, like, coming in, and he still won the tournament because he just likes the course, it fits his eye, and his iron's going to just drain a bunch of putts. And if it's going to be windy and guys are missing greens all the time, it's just going to be an up-and-down game. I kind of like him, so.
Yeah, I'm fine with Reed. That's a guy who is going to come in sub 5% again, and he can absolutely get it done.
Yeah, and he played fine last week.
Nope.
That's not a terrible call, Steve. I think he's like 100-1, so that's – if he's like – he's double the price of a lot of players that he's better than, or, you know, when he's right. So, yeah, that's not bad. Capper, I just wanted to say something. Last week at the PGA, this Capper zone where all your guys finished with the same score. And I laughed. You had Rahm plus six, Keegan Bradley plus six, Kyle Barton the third plus six. They all finished T48. Teddy McCarthy finished.
McCarthy's not one of my guys.
Yeah, but I like to hear you say that. So I threw him in. Threw in Denny McCarthy. But
that's
the Capper zone.
I didn't have any Rahm. I had minimal Keegan, and I probably doubled the field in
HP. But you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I know.
Those are your guys for the most part, usually.
Yeah,
and I just laughed that they all finished in the same score. It's really not that long. Sorry to interrupt the show.
No, it's good. This is the Capper zone. I like it. All finished plus six. I wish I didn't fucking know that.
Austin plus six Capper.
I fucking love it.
God. All right, well, we'll take another break and then we'll finish breaking down these tiers.
All right. Well, listen, you want to talk about the Capper zone? You guys need Manscaped. Sweaty sack summer is approaching and it's time for you to prioritize, had to take my dip out, the comfort of for your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there, and I've had the honor of testing these new boxers, and I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable, it's like the gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's that serious. I think it's time you invest in your family jewels and let your bulge breathe and get 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code SGP at manscaped.com. Jeff, I mean, your job requires you to be out in the sun. I mean, I would imagine that you don't like your ball sticking to your legs, right?
You really don't need to include me in this ad.
Right? Well, listen, no one likes balls sticking to their legs, okay? So, you gotta make sure you go get those boxes, all right? And let's say you're on a date and your partner catches the Manscaped waistband on your underwear. It's almost guaranteed to raise eyebrows and act like a billboard on the highway to Pleasure Town. That is thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0. The best electric trimmer for below the waist grooming. This trim offers skin safe technology designed to trim hair on loose skin. And outside of the ball trimming, they're now focusing efforts on helping the thigh slappers in other ways with the game changing boxers. And the boxers include features like the jewel pouch designed to cradle your boys in their own special space lined with perforated performance fabric to keep them well ventilated. Basically, imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, chilling on a hammock on some tropical beach. The micro model fabric is buttery soft and breathable to keep your cucumber cool. Walk, run, strut. These moisture wicking boxers breathe without breaking a sweat, and the tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in, and it lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing. The front fly opening gives easy access and makes bathroom breaks quick and efficient. You can choose from an arrangement of designs and colors that range from small to 3X for all of the guys out there. So get 20% off plus free shipping with promo code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping at with promo code SGP at manscaped.com. Once the boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never go back.
Nicely done. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? Since you just talked for a long time, why don't I go first?
Thanks, buddy.
And then you go after me. Okay.
I appreciate it.
So why don't we start with Adam Long, $6,900. I mean, he missed the cut in his last start at Potomac, but he missed out on the number. So who knows what could happen. And it was just kind of weird weather conditions. But there's some other tournaments recently that had some wind that kind of piques my interest. You know, Mexico was T15. That got some windy conditions.
Yep.
T32 at Bay Hill, T35 at Valero, finished T12 at Heritage, another like Target golf course. You know, I mean, like that's a guy who just kind of keeps the ball in front of him. He's a good scrambler too in these windy conditions. I trust him to get up and down. And he's got two top 20s here in three starts. That's decent course history.
Yeah. No, that's good course history, Steve. Good.
All right, fine. All right. We're splitting hairs here.
Semantics is my game, sir.
You know, and like, I mean, this is a gross pick. But like, if it's gonna be kind of like if he can make the weekend, it kind of just gets windy conditions. Like a Rory Sabatini, who is just a good scrambler and just kind of can just win, like, you know, just grind out pars and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I mean, he's got a lot of experience here.
He went his stupid fucking hat.
Did he win here? Like 20 years ago? Did he even win?
Count.
I think he won here.
No, he did. He won in like 2011 or something. So he's got a bunch of other good finishes. I mean, like, I think course history matters at this place. And if it's going to be difficult conditions, I think he can get around. And you're just kind of banging on making a cut. You know, you got GT Poston as well. I mean, what? T9 at Wells Fargo in crappy weather conditions. You got he finished T3 at Heritage, another Target golf course. Like, and Steven Yeager, you know, like, he was dog shit ever since, like, he came up this year, but I mean, he was one of the best players on the Korn Ferry Tour last year, and he's actually starting to play much better lately.
Yep.
You know, the irons are coming around. He's always a really good scrambler and putter. You know, T6 at Potomac, T15 in Mexico, yep. T38 at Byron Nelson. You know, for $6,800 for a guy that I think has some tools to handle some, you know, adverse weather conditions where guys are missing a ton of greens, I kind of like him this week. So those are my four guys under seven. Capper, what about you now?
So I'm with you on Long and Yeager. So Yeager's 17th around the green here too. And like you said, when you're down here, you're just trying to find at least one thing somebody does well, especially, there's a lot of fucking garbage down here. So I'm with you on them. And I literally just said that McCathy, isn't my guy. But I don't mind him this week. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut since fucking Phoenix. So cut maker, plus pretty well on bent. His around the green is okay. All his troubles come off the tee and some tee to green. But listen, he can get super hot with his putter and at his price, fine with McCathy. And then if you go all, I'm surprised you didn't talk about Gim. So Gim, all the comp courses he plays well at, right?
Hmm.
Right? He plays well at, and you know, he's fine around the green. He's fine with the iron range that we're looking for.
I just think he's going to garner a lot of ownership. That's fine.
So all the way at the bottom, you got Adam Shank. Shank, I think he's 6,100 or 6K. Like
6K flat.
6K flat. He's made his last fucking three cuts. He's sixth in 125 to 150, in proximity in this field. Like, I mean, and he's got decent course history. Like, he's made, let's see, he fucking, he's made the cut twice. Like, that's fine for me. At stone minimum, fucking 6K? 6K? Like, yes, you can make some shit fit, and you can do worse than Adam Shank. Wasn't he almost first round leader, like 3 weeks ago? He made like 15 fucking birdies on like the front end. Do you remember that?
That might have been in Mexico.
Yeah, like, it was fucking insane. And like, you could do a hell of a lot worse, than a 6K guy who should make the cut. I used to play him all the time. Everybody used to call him Adam Shank, the cut maker. Like, he would just make all the cuts. He had like the record for made cuts. And give me 6K Adam Shank. Let's go.
And then I think he started talking about that and he started.
Yeah, then he fucking missed the cut. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
funny how that happens.
So weird how that works.
Right?
Yep. All right, Jeff, what about you? Who are some guys?
No, those good. Some good names there. You mentioned a couple that I have. I wrote four names down. At the bottom of that list was Rory Sabatini. Not going to lie. He hasn't played a little bit better as of late. But I'm really trying to get out of the habit of, you know, banking on these washed up guys, these old guys. You would think I would have learned my lesson by now. Like, I got to stop with these washed up, like 40-year-old guys.
It's because you identify with them, man. That's all.
Maybe. But no, I'm talking like the Kuchar and Snedeker and Streelman.
Kuchar's been playing good, man.
No, but you can't count on them. I can't do it anymore. I can't. I need some young blood. So in that vein, I was looking at maybe like an Austin Smotherman. But, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from these guys.
Super chalk, too. I mean, he's going to be almost 10%, I bet, in the 6K range.
Okay, maybe. So it will depend on, lineup construction or something. But it's a name. If I don't want to go with a crafty veteran, I want to take a flyer on some Corn Ferry guy. Yeah. You know, I have JT Poston written down. He's also been good. But the guy I like the most, and neither of you mentioned him, is Carlos Ortiz, who's been pretty dog shit all year.
Yep.
And I played him in the I guess it was a Byron Nelson a couple weeks ago. If Abe Anser is popular, Texas guy, and he's Mexican, and there's a thing about Mexican players playing in Texas. It's a thing. Say whatever you want. It's a thing. And Carlos Ortiz, his only win is in Houston, by the way. I might go back to the well with that. If his ownership is fine, if nobody's talking about him, I kind of like Ortiz down there. He's 6,500, which might give me some flexibility to add to be a little heavier on top if I want to. But we'll see. You know, it's Monday.
It's Monday.
We got some guys. We'll see what happens. But those are I like Ortiz the most. But, yeah, I don't hate those Sabatini posting type things.
So I can't believe, what? Steve, that you're on – no, Steve is on fucking Posted. He used to take me to the fucking woodshed every time I would mention his name.
Okay.
Well, listen,
you've warmed up to Fleetwood, and I cooled on him at the Byron Nelson, and I ended up being right on that. So you know what? Sometimes we flip-flop on this stuff.
It's fine. Just, yeah. I was like jarred. I was like, wait, fucking what? Like, I don't know.
Oh, Tapper, did you hit Rory first round leader?
I did.
Congratulations. That's 2 weeks in a row then, right?
It is 2 weeks in a row.
Aw, you're the fucking man, Kevin. First round leader guy. Anytime anybody asks me, I'm sending them to you.
I know. You randomly tag me on Twitter when somebody asks you that shit.
Yeah. I'm like, look, fuck that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay attention. But, yeah, great job, man. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy.
Especially to Munoz. That was awesome. That's our guy. That's awesome.
That's a guy that I know me and John constantly bet. I'll bet him again this week. Like, he'll be on my first round leading guy this week. He's just the guy who gets out of the gates. Like, and you want to give me fucking 80-1 all day? Let's go. I don't care. I bet way worse bets. I'm not worried.
No, that's a good bet. Yeah. No, he's great. Love Bessie. All right.
I guess we can save it for the betting show, but since Jeff's on here real quick, there's definitely an advantage for first round leader going up on 10, right?
I haven't looked into it, but. Maybe. I don't know. I'd have to look back at my notes last week. That's or fine. Last year. Yeah. So, all right. Outright time. Jeff, you got any tonight that you want to share?
Well, you just mentioned the Knott thing was going to be very popular, so I don't love that. But no, I'm almost positive that I'm going to be playing Taylor Gooch. That's going to be like my play, my pick, my bet, my anchor. I enjoyed watching him strike the shit out of the ball last week and miss every makeable birdie putt. But I hope that they fall this week.
What if he gets paired up with Knott again?
Well, you know, that would be unfortunate, Capper, but we don't like
it. Negative.
Well, I won't factor that in, but I just, I like Gooch a lot. I haven't got, be honest, I haven't gone through all the ranges, but I mean, I can make shit up as we go, but. I like Gooch a lot, but I haven't put the bet in yet.
Okay.
So we'll see that.
Okay. Capper, what about you?
Only thing I got right now is Finau 35-1. I was busy at fucking work today, and I get shitty numbers because I live in Florida, and DeSantis is an asshole who doesn't want to legalize betting. So the only thing I have right now is 35-1. I'll have them all figured out by tomorrow. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
All right. So one thing I kind of noticed just looking at the guys who won this thing. A lot of, like, on the list, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Like, nobody really, like, flashy, like, except for Spieth or something like that. But, like, not a ton of, like phenom, young stud, just, like, blue collar, just grind it out, but, like, you know, hanging around the top 50 in the world type guy that we look back like, oh, that makes sense, he won. So, kind of the guys I bet this week are similar to that. Tony Finau, 41-1. Good course history here. I like how he hit the ball last week. I think if it's going to be windy conditions like 2019 where he did very well, I like that. I got a feel about Webb Simpson. I like the fact he changed the irons and he actually showed well last week. And that's a guy who I feel like this type of track suits him. He has a couple wins on bent grass, even though he's known as a Bermuda guy. 48-1 on him. I don't mind that. Gary Woodland, 50-1. He should have won Bay Hill. He played well at Valero Texas Open, played well at the Honda, like, you know, some difficult playing conditions. And he's got good courses here. I like that. And Patrick Reed, 100-1. I'm just going to go do it. It's 100-1. Why not? I like what I saw last week. And I like the fact that he finally hit his irons good, and he's got good course history here. And again, like I just see like on like the Wikipedia page looking at Colonial, saying like, oh, Patrick Reed won. And then last one, just FOMO. This is throwing money away, but Bryson 100-1.
All right.
It's 100.
Yeah, it's 100-1.
Why not? Yeah, there's worse bets you can make at triple digits.
Didn't I just do that like 2 weeks ago with him?
Yeah. Listen, yeah, it's
whatever. It is what it is.
Throw $5 on it.
Throw $10 on and call it a day.
I'm gonna join you on Reed, Steve.
Okay.
I think I might.
Some other guys I'm considering. I like the Gooch call. I'm considering him at 40. Considering Kirk at 60, but he seems like he's gonna be chalk.
Uber chalk.
And considering Hoagie at 70, I don't know if I see him as like a 2-time winner on the PGA Tour though. This
year.
That's exactly the thing. So I might just leave it at.
You said the same thing about Kokrak. Literally the same exact thing about Kokrak, and then he went out and won that week. I'm betting fucking Hoagie now.
Well, you know what? And I also besmirched his quote unquote decent course history.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know what? And I've been kind of swaying the universe lately with some things I've been saying. So I think I'm actually the curse or the reverse curse. So maybe I should just bet at 70. It's whatever. I'm considering Gooch, Kirk, and Hoagie. Maybe one or two of those guys. And then I'm going to try and keep my options open for the weekend, not get over committed on a whole lot of stuff and fire some bullets because that worked for me last week.
Yep.
Catching JT at 22 on Sunday. And yeah, maybe we'll try and do it again.
What number did you get Woodland at?
50.
I fucking hate offshores. They're the worst.
It's like golf forward podcast bingo with Cap. Governor sucks. Offshores. Yeah. Something about weather. Yeah. Harold Varner. Like this. That's a good bingo. We got them all.
Yeah, you should go ahead, make a bingo card. Put one of your people on it and make a bingo card for it. That would be fucking funny.
I like that. Maybe we'll get Paul Twiddle to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we take one more ad break and then we'll close out the show.
All right, so this is a super long ad break because Steve didn't make the fucking reads right. So we're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you style your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, nervous system, immune system, energy, recovery, focus, aging, all the things, and it costs you less than $3 a day, and you're invested in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and they have over 7,000 five-star reviews. They make it easy. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. And did you guys know that browsing online with our incognito bone doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without ad security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, Jeff, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing your speed. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. And they're offering a set incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free, and it's super easy to use. All you got to do is tap a button, and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. So stop sharing with the world everything you stream, search for, and buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's ipvanish.com/SGP, and use promotional code SGP to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP.
All right. Jeff, you got any plugs to close the show with?
No. In a second. Capper, you have to in every odd, awkward, like any opportunity to just put me down.
I wasn't putting you down. I was just giving you advice, man. That's all.
You don't do that to your other people.
I do it to Steve all the fucking time.
He actually does. It's so he knows I'm paying attention.
You don't do that to your other very special guests.
I don't think you're – listen, at this point, you're not a very special guest. You're like a regular, so I'm going to break your balls ball. That's how it works. Better to be a regular. That's all.
There it is.
Okay.
Better to be a regular. Hey, at least you admit it. I appreciate
it. If I don't break your balls, it means I don't like you, Jeff.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay. Do I have any plugs? Well, I think everybody knows on a Wednesday nights on YouTube or Twitter, Nagels Bagels, I'm going to go over my – give out a lineup that I'm going to be playing. I'm going to go over my picks and my fades and everything else, break down the field a little bit more in depth, and have a little fun with it. So if you want to check that out Wednesday nights or on Twitter, Nagels Bagels, YouTube, whatever, you can find me. And I appreciate you guys having me on tonight to break this down. Feels like we're like halfway through the golf season now, two majors in the books, and I feel like a little refreshed. I'm getting ready for the second half of the season, the home stretch, whatever you want to call it. And let's win a little bit more money. I'm going to the U.S. Open in Boston. Looking forward to that. Are you going?
What day are you going?
I don't know yet. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be there.
It's Father's Day. It's my wife's birthday. I know Andy and cousin Mush, everybody's breaking my balls to go up there. The fucking tickets are so goddamn expensive, though.
I might have a connection, so I might not have to worry about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I know the connection.
I'm working on it. It's a thing. The wheels are in motion.
It's fine.
And I have no interest in meeting that cousin Mush guy. So,
hey, easy, Jesus fucking Christ, easy, stop.
I'm not stopping. I'm telling you right now, I have no interest in meeting that guy. So. If you are going to be there and you want to hook something up, know that ahead of time. Do not ambush me with somebody I do not have any interest in talking to.
By the way, since we're kind of on that subject, and I think I know what you're listening to, do you have any thoughts on Xander at the PGA? I don't remember seeing a shot from him after Thursday.
Yeah, very. Well, I'm having concerns about him with the wind. You know, we talked about it. Before the tournament, I texted you and I said, what do you think about this theory? And you came back at me with some stuff. And yeah, I guess it's subjective. It's like, well, he finished second at Torrey. It's like, yeah, well, he would have won if it wasn't for the wind. It seems like it's a hindrance. I don't know. He wasn't terrible. He finished 13th.
Yeah.
It was very, I had to look at the leaderboard. I'm like, where did he finish? I'm like, oh, it was that high. I just,
He had a good Saturday. A lot of people went backwards on Saturday, and he hung in there. I think he shot even par, or maybe one under. I don't know. I wasn't as obsessive in watching his round as I usually am. I've been very, very lax, Steve, in all of my golf stuff. I'm experimenting with this idea of being less obsessive because I'm trying to just let things happen and not beat the shit out of myself. I really beat the shit out of myself a lot when things don't go right. And in golf, when things don't go right most of the time, I'm beating the shit out of myself almost all the time. And I had to stop doing that. because I was miserable. You know what? Do you understand?
I know exactly what you mean.
So yeah, I'm not like I was not locked in free shot. I was out doing. I went to the eye doctor with my daughter on Friday when Xander and Tiger were playing. I didn't even see half of it. And it's fine. It's okay. I was able to go about my day.
Yep.
Which just wasn't the case a year ago. I was manic. I was obsessive. Everything mattered. And now it's like, let's dial it back. So, but no, he's fine. I'm interested to see what happens at the U.S. Open, but I don't know what's going to be a good spot for him. He had terrible weather at the Masters this year.
Yep.
He didn't win. He had opportunities on the West Coast when he was home and he blew it and he threw in a trip to Saudi Arabia for some reason. Like, he's been fucked for a long time, and nobody seems to want to, like, acknowledge. Like, we need to get back on track. There's something's up. He just hasn't had the best luck, or, it's been brutal. And where did he just, finished?
Nuclear.
Not a tough loss or something.
It was a tough loss. He just went nuclear 2 weeks ago.
And Byron Nelson, he shot like a 60, like 3 or something.
Yeah, he was right. Yeah, well, yeah, he was never really in that. Yeah, well, I was in the airport all day. I was
so that's the key. You just gotta go hang out in the airport for the U.S. Open. Just go buy a ticket somewhere. Hang at the fucking airport. Just
go hang out at Logan.
Yeah, go hang out at Logan.
That was that Thursday at the Byron Nelson is a perfect example. Like there was no reason he didn't make a birdie till like the 16th hole. Bars in a row. Yeah. It was like, what is going on? This is not a hard golf course. And then he was great after that.
He was the best player after that.
Yeah, but like, what is going on? He couldn't be 2-3 under before he started this amazing stretch. Oh, it's so frustrating. Like,
All right. Yeah. Well, I don't want to give heroin to the fucking addict. So let's stop talking about fucking Xander. Okay?
I'm sorry.
You're right. All right. Well, here's my follow up question. Since you're gonna be in Boston, will you be available for us U.S. Open week or
is it gonna be? We'll do a Monday night. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Let's
excellent.
Do that. Excellent. Yeah, that'd be great. I'd really appreciate that.
All right. So let's plan on that. I got nothing else. We'll be back tomorrow for our betting show, and see you tomorrow.
That's it. Fucking, you guys know where to find me, Boston_Capper on Twitter. Find Steve in the Slack channel, Twitter with Steve for a reason. Like I said, go check out Nagel's show, especially on YouTube. Go make sure you, hit the subscribe button when you go watch it. It helps Jeff out greatly. So please do that. And don't forget to rate and review us. I know we're not giving away a part of this week, but feel free to go ahead and give the 30 seconds, click the 5 stars, say something nice, say something mean, don't give a shit. Just go ahead and put something in there. And, other than that, let's break them fucking books. We'll be back for the betting show tomorrow. Let's go, baby.